Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
So like 6 to 12, that's an age stage called, with Erickson, called industry versus inferiority, right? And so that leadership model is called path goal leadership.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Rich Griffith.
In other words, you're helping your children already think about not what they want to do. I don't think we want to ask the question of, what do you want to do? Like, how many? When I was born and, you know, man on the moon and stuff like that, later, I was still young. But, you know, what do you want to do? How many kids said, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a firefighter, right? We're asking the wrong question. We should not be asking children 6 to 12, what do you want to do? We need to ask the question, who do you want to be?
Yeah, I love that.
And it's character issues, right? Because if you, look, you can do any career. You can develop any career, but developing your character is really important. So in this path goal, we try and find out what our kids excel at and do well that brings out character, not a product.
Hear more from Rich at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Hi, it's Brian Carroll from A1 Glass. Get rewarded when you upgrade to Milgard windows and doors and earn up to $100 back per patio door and up to $40 back per Milgard window. Enjoy better comfort, energy efficiency, a home that looks incredible, and huge savings. Don't wait, the spring sales event ends June 8th. Plus, A1 Glass is your local family-owned award-winning team, voted best on the Central Coast. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
Qualifying Milgard products only. Rewards issued as electronic gift cards. See A1 Glass for details.
Visit Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Enjoy Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, weekday happy hour, and Thursday through Saturday dinner specials. Watch your favorite sports indoors or out. The covered veranda boasts heaters and coolers to fit the season. Deeds is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week with breakfast on weekends. Play at Paso, dine at Deeds. There's no place like it. Paso Robles Golf Club on Country Club Drive in Paso Robles.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. Today, sex is force-fed into the American home through a cable. With the flick of a switch, it leaps from the television picture tube and parades perfunctorily before the nearest voyeur. In 1916, X-rated entertainment was accessible, available. For 25 cents, one could gaze at naked thigh and bare breast, anyone, man, woman, child, for the price of 25 cents. Well, this ready obscenity shocked and angered innumerable Americans who wrote their congressmen to say so. Defenders declared that thighs and breasts were natural things, that the mere sight of them could do no harm. But the controversy raged until Congress itself was forced to act. By the year 1916, the image of American womanhood was transforming rapidly. While the national morality remained at a virtual standstill, and the result was a state of perpetual anachronism. The past and the future were in continual collision. And then into this uncertain cultural atmosphere was injected the provocative art of one Herman A. McNeil. Now, Herman's credentials were civilized enough. He was a member of the National Academy of Design and the New York Municipal Art Association and the National Academy of Arts and Letters and so on and on and on. He was the president of the National Sculpture Society. His work was widely applauded by his peers, or at least by those who would like to have considered themselves such. And yet until 1916, the art of Herman McNeil was all but unknown to those outside the artistic community. Well, suddenly everybody knew, for it was Herman McNeil's representation of a partially unclothed woman, naked thigh, bare breast, 25 cents a peek, which stirred one of the greatest moral controversies of the new century. Now, most artists agreed that it was a positive thing. They tried to convince the public that such compelling beauty should be visually accessible to the average citizen. But the average citizen vehemently protested this nationwide peep show, and in 1917, the United States government responded to the public outcry with an act of Congress. And by an act of Congress, McNeil's beauty was concealed. He was required to clothe the feminine figure, which he had created, so that her breast was no longer visible and her thigh was a bit more covered. And yet once upon a time, for precisely 25 cents, anybody in the United States could purchase an eyeful. Did I mention that artist Herman A. McNeil was in 1916 employed by the United States government, more specifically by the United States Mint? His vision of half-naked loveliness, which embraced a bashful nation for 25 cents, was 25 cents. It was his design on the head side of the 1916 silver quarter, the obscene Miss Liberty. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And today we have Bob Smith. He is a candidate for U.S. Congress 24th District. We're going over a number of things that he supports and asking him how he stands on different issues. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Karen.
And I want to ask you, I want to get into one of the other big issues in our country right now, and that is defense, the wars, what's going on worldwide, lots of fears of World War III. We have the Iran issue, we have the Ukraine issue, we have what happened in Venezuela, we have concerns about Cuba. First, where do you stand on national defense?
Yeah, I'm strong on national defense, right? So this is one of my big things. Obviously, I spent my life in the defense world. But with that said, I'm also not for fraud, waste, and abuse in the Department of Defense. So our defense budget is our largest discretionary spending budget, and it's we're over $1 trillion now in our defense budget. And so I prefer a world where we have some accountability in that. And we're balancing both getting many decades ahead of our adversaries, right? Because we kind of want this peace through strength model where we don't have to go to conflict because we overwhelm everyone with our technology and how far ahead we are. At the same time, we don't need to keep spending money in things that are bureaucratic or are things that we no longer use anymore, right? So We seem to have these programs in the Department of Defense that last for 30, 40, 50 years. They continually keep funding going in them. There's armies of humans and everything else that are built up in supporting all of those programs. And so I do think there's a lot of efficiency that can be gained in defense to cut down that budget a little bit while also developing the things that we really do need to get ahead. So that's generally where I stand in defense in general, right, without getting into a specific issue.
And let's talk about a couple of the specific issues going on right now. How do you feel about the conflict in Iran?
Yeah, so there's two things that we know about Iran. Iran cannot have nuclear weapons, and Iran cannot continue to just develop long-range ballistic missile defense technology without being checked. Those two things that I know are just the way the world is. And so if we had credible intel that showed that they were going to be able to have a nuclear weapon, or they were advancing ballistic missile defense technology, which it seems like they're now caught red-handed. They fired missiles at Diego Garcia that went over 2,000 nautical miles. They continually reported that they didn't have ballistic missiles that could go over 1,200 nautical miles for regional defense. And so that was clearly a lie. The same thing with the nuclear enrichment. So we signed on to the nuclear deal under President Obama, and they took the money. So it was, I think, $50 billion-ish or whatever got paid. I know there's numbers that go up into the $150 billion, but it'll stay at $50 billion. But they took money. They continue to use that money for nuclear enrichment and for their ballistic missile defense technology improvement, and they continue to enrich. So they were caught red-handed in inspections with almost 70% enrichment. And just to put that in perspective, if you get over 3.5%, you are no longer in power grade enrichment. So you're now going into the weapons grade world. So the reality is we cannot let Iran have that. We're dealing with basically theological Nazis that just want to burn the world. I mean, that's the reality of it. I've dealt with the IRGC personally, and I've dealt with normal Iranian entities and forces. And you have a country that's 70 million people are basically normal. And then you have 10, 20 million people on top of that that are these just fundamentalist extremists, and they're what's running the country. And to put this in perspective, when you're on a Navy ship in the Strait of Hormuz, you could be dealing with a normal Iranian Navy, and they're professional mariners, they want to make sure safe navigation, all these things. And then on the other side of you, you have these IRGC Navy people, and they are like, best analogy I could give you would be like driving around Paso Robles, and someone is driving next to you continually trying to get you into an accident or create an incident. And that's what these guys are doing the entire time. They're just harassing, trying to cause an international incident, having weapons pointed at you, vice versa. And we've been on our heels for many, many, many years with Iran. And that's across both parties and many presidents. And, this president finally took action on it. And, I heard from Speaker Johnson personally a few weeks ago. I went to a meeting where he was at, and he said, "Hey, look, we went into the negotiations, and Iran started off the negotiations saying we'll have a nuclear weapon in 2 months." Yeah. So if that's where they were at in negotiation, then, I fully support what we did here in the action.
And how do you, where do you see this going moving forward, or are you just watching as everyone else is?
Yeah, so I'm no longer in this world of intel. I can tell you before a year and a half ago, I got to see a lot of the things that were happening here. And Iran has fired so many missiles and drones at our Navy ships and into the Red Sea, either through themselves or through Houthi-backed rebels. We have fired 600-plus interceptors from our Navy ships. And those things are about $3 million apiece. And we're batting 1,000 right now, but you know, in anything statistically, you're not going to bat 1,000 forever. So eventually, if we didn't stop this, we would see, our bases or our ships or something on fire and, young people's lives at risk. And so we had to do something. So I'm not interested in a ground war. I spent, two decades of my life over there in the Middle East, pretty much a lot of it, in all the wars that we were in for a long period of time. So I'm not interested in that. But I'm also not interested in them having nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. So I think the strikes, the precision strikes, were the right thing to take out the technology. But really, anything that's going to happen in Iran needs to come from the people of Iran, those 70 million normal people, stepping up and turning over their government. We should not be in there on the ground. We should not be doing regime change there. This should be tactical, and then we should move on with it.
And what did you think about what happened in Venezuela?
Yeah, so if we're going to have Maduro, who is, we have a bounty on him to go and get Maduro that went through multiple presidents again in both parties, saying that he's a criminal, international criminal. And we went in there in a strategic event, and we took him out, and we didn't cause a whole lot of destruction or anything else. It was a very well-executed mission. So I support the mission in there in Venezuela. Now, there's one thing I'm going to be critical here on with this. I do not support, what we've been doing with drug boats in Venezuela. And the reason that I don't is because we have international law that drugs are maritime interdiction. They're law enforcement. And I do think that we should be trying to apprehend drug boats before we go to just doing strikes on drug boats. Now, I don't want drugs coming into the United States, so I'm in full support of stopping the drug boats. So don't get me wrong there. But we have international law that protects us all over the globe in maritime interdiction that we do. And this is one of the things that I did for a long portion of my career in the Navy. And so we stop terrorists. We stop them with contraband. We stop them with things like nuclear enrichment material. We stop them with transporting money to terrorists and missiles. And so I don't want our international partners saying, hey, you know what, United States, you're no longer trusted because in law enforcement actions, you can't be trusted to, treat it as a law enforcement action just before you go to military actions. Now, there's rhetoric from the other side that this is Trump is doing something that no one else has done. That's not true. We've been taking out drug boats and all presidents, forever. But the difference is that, there's normally a, hey, stop before you just go to doing a strike. So why are we doing the strikes? Because it's easier. It's easy mode. You can fly planes across a large portion of water, and you can take a drug boat out and then just be done with it rather than doing the whole process of doing interdiction. But I believe that we're Americans, and we should stand to higher standards and higher values. And, I would like to see us trying to do interdiction before we're just doing kinetic strikes on them.
And how do you feel about what is going on, the allegations regarding Cuba?
Yeah, I'm not too up to speed on Cuba right now, so I'm not really sure how to answer the question right now. I'm just not enough informed on it. So I have to get myself informed on Cuba right now and everything that's going on, but I just haven't had the time to focus on it.
And I want to change the subject now and kind of move over to a local issue in San Luis Obispo County. The Morro Bay offshore wind is very divisive and very important to people on both sides of the issue. You have a large amount of people that live over near the coast that do not want the windmills. And throughout the county, there are many people that have strong concerns over the battery storage. Where do you stand on the offshore wind energy?
Yeah, so this is an issue where I'm well versed in. So I'm actually well versed in the entire grid in California. So I've spent a lot of time on this. So the Morro Bay project, let's just take all of the rhetoric out of it. Let's just take everything out of it. It's a bad engineering project. And I'm telling you that from a systems engineer who has worked on major programs of delivering some of the most complex systems on planet Earth, these multi-billion-dollar programs. This is a bad project. So California is basically lying to everybody in renewables, right, and especially with this floating offshore wind. They're taking nameplate value of a single turbine for wind. So first off, what is Morro Bay's project? It's 400 square miles off the coast of Morro Bay. That's the size of Los Angeles. That's crazy. So that's 300 turbines that are 1,000 feet tall, 350-foot blades on each one of them. They're floating with anchor chains going to the bottom, connected with cabling through that 400 square miles all the way to floating substations, and you have to turn Port San Luis and Morro Bay into industrial ports to support it. So if you take this as an engineer into a system of systems concept with the 300 turbines and all the things and the industrial ports and all the conduit and everything, this is a poor engineering project. You're getting about a 15% efficiency out of wind power, and you're potentially destroying our most valuable resource, which is the ocean. I don't even know where you're getting all that copper conduit from, because California's real plant is 4,500 square miles. So Morro Bay is just step one. So I don't know where you're going to get all that copper conduit from. You're going to have to strip mine the entire earth. And there's ways that we can do this better, right? So Diablo Canyon is a better answer, for instance. But, you know, we can move on from Diablo Canyon type reactors too into small modular reactors. Those are a better answer. So for a very small footprint, you get 100% efficiency, very green energy, no emissions whatsoever, not destroying your ocean, not worrying about where you have to strip mine all the copper from and the crazy cost of it. So there are better ways to handle the power problem than the wind turbine. So whether you like wind, you don't like wind, it doesn't matter. It is a poor engineering project. It's basically California jumping. Anything that does a carbon offset is worth the cost of it. And I just don't believe that destroying our ocean and the nonsense that that's going to be, that'll be just like the train to nowhere. It'll be a project that never ends. It never gets finished. It'll have major cost and schedule overruns. It is just a nonsense project from an engineering perspective. And so I'm completely against it.
And how do you also feel about the concerns with battery storage? I know they say there are new battery storage facilities that are going to be safer and the batteries are going to be better, but they're not here right now, and there's a lot of issues with fires. Where do you stand on battery storage as it is now?
So it doesn't matter what whether the batteries are safer or not. This is the reality of California's renewable plan. Long duration energy storage does not exist. Not in California, not on Mars, not in Narnia. It does not exist. You cannot transfer terawatt hours of power into any kind of storage whatsoever. So right now we have capability that are, you know, can transfer 2 to 4 hours of power. You can't maintain a base load out of that. So California's power grid is the analogy of jumping out of a plane without a parachute and hoping that a parachute gets invented before you hit the ground. That's not a good policy, right? And that's why our energy costs are high. And right now, California is curtailing, which means dumping. We are dumping 3,400 gigawatt hours of renewable energy every single year. So to put that in perspective for you, that's 750,000 houses, full annual use of power is just getting dumped. And the reason being is because you can't store it. So renewables work different than fossil fuels or nuclear power plants or hydro, right? So those all use turbines. And we're going to have to get into it after your break.
Yeah, Bob, I will. We'll finish talking about the battery storage when we come back after a word from our sponsors.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages ending higher on Middle East ceasefire optimism, and as investors digest a new batch of mostly upbeat earnings results. The Nasdaq and S&P 500 notching new record closing highs, and tech stocks were among the gainers in lifting the Nasdaq for its 12th straight session of gains, its longest winning streak in nearly 17 years. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks were mixed today, but up sharply for the week. Software stocks rose, with the sector having a strong run this week after a tough few months. Chip stocks also gained, however, healthcare and industrials lagged. And shares of Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing fell over 3%. The Dow winners, Microsoft, IBM, and Goldman Sachs. The Dow decliners, Boeing, Johnson & Johnson, and Caterpillar. The Dow up 115 points, the Nasdaq higher by 87, S&P 500 up 18. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You didn't want to buy gold when prices were rising. Then you waited when gold pulled back. Now, you're stuck in the middle, unsure what to do next. Speak with a precious metal specialist now at NobleGoldInvestments.com. Get the answers you need to stop guessing and move forward with confidence. Their team makes it simple to gain real investor knowledge and insight. Stop trying to time the market. Start spending time in it. Don't let the market move without you. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
The sound-off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. Today I have U.S. Congress candidate Bob Smith. And Bob, when we took the break, you were talking about renewable energy in California.
Yeah. So long-duration battery storage doesn't exist. So when renewables work different than fossil fuels, nuclear, or hydro, right? So dams, because they have a turbine that matches a one-to-one load, one-to-one to the load. So when you have a power demand that's coming from, our communities, then the turbine at the power plant is matched one-to-one to that, right? Which is why they're all high efficiency. So so it's basically it's like a pull system, right? So I need power, I get the power that I need. In renewables, it's a push system, right? So the sun is either shining or the wind is blowing, and the energy is made, and it has to go somewhere. And so that energy either has to go into battery storage, it has to be used. You can hydro pump it, which means pumping water up a mountain then to let it go back down again over a turbine, or you have to dump it. And so because California is got regulations against hydro pumping, so hydro pumping is not happening here. That's not an answer. So we don't have that at a good clip. Battery storage does not exist to transfer the battery storage that we need to maintain a baseload into it. So, and on top of all of that, you would need tens of thousands of Moss Landing type facilities right now just to even handle any of our load, which doesn't exist. So that's not there. So what California is doing is they're just basically dumping it. And so we're all paying for that renewable energy in our electric bill, the surcharge that we get, and then California is just dumping the power. So I'm not against renewables. I'm a balanced energy person. So, you know, that 400 square miles of floating wind farms, would that be better as 400 square miles on roofs on the top of Los Angeles? Absolutely, right? So I'm fine with that. But the reality is the world that we live in and the technology that we have, renewables need to sit on top of baseload power. And to give everyone the understanding of this, when I tell people this, it seems like it breaks their brain a little bit. I have a Tesla. When I charge my Tesla at night, I'm charging my Tesla on natural gas. Because at nighttime, when the sun's down, right, that's where our power is coming from. We're importing natural gas.
That does make sense. And so I want to get into another issue. What would you do to deliver results to your district? How would you represent the district, and where would your accountability be?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is, right, is that Salud Carbajal is the incumbent, right? I think there's three jobs of a representative in the House of Representatives. The first thing is represent your district to the federal government. And Salud does not talk to anybody across the aisle at all, right? He only talks to his base here. He gets elected pretty easily at each time, so it's just kind of like a rubber stamp to be reelected. And really, his duty from the Democrat Party is just to be a fundraiser, right? And that's generally what junior congressmen who are in districts that have wealth do, right, or have national exposure. So, for instance, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, her name's not on a single piece of legislation in Congress. That's not her job. her job is to be a national face that raises big money for the Democrat Party. So now, Salud, on the lower end of that, Salud's job is to really bring Montecito money and stuff to the national party so they can use it wherever they want. And that's exactly what happens. About 90% of the funds he raises do not get used here in district. They get used for wherever the Democrat Party needs to use them at all over the country. So that's his role in Congress. And so he's not representing us. He doesn't talk to the other side of the aisle at all. I've asked every group that's a conservative group in the Central Coast. They say, I've never seen him talk to us ever. So he's not doing that. The second thing that a representative should be doing is passing a responsible budget on time. The last time that a budget got passed on time was 1997, all 12 appropriations. Audrea Seastrand was the congresswoman here. That's the last time that a budget was passed on time, and we know now with the deficit that we have that we're definitely not passing a responsible budget for sure. The third thing is to bring things back to your district in terms of resources, funding, legislation that's needed in the district. So let's look at Salud Carbajal's record. He sponsored one bill into legislation that is dedicating the post office in Santa Maria. That's it. There's a one-by-one-foot plaque on the post office wall of Santa Maria that dedicates it to, you know, the great mayor of Santa Maria, Larry Lavagnino. That's it. That's all he's done in passing legislation. As far as bringing funding back to our district, we are in like the bottom. I'll just say the bottom half to not get controversial here. We're in the bottom half of resources brought back to our district. Right. So what does that mean? It means that we pay a lot of tax dollars to the federal government, and you want our representatives to go bring some of that money back. Now, we'd like to pay less tax dollars, but we've paid it already to the federal government. Go get that money for our district to use. So, you know, Salud brought home in the last Biden budget somewhere around $12-13 million. That's a peanut in the terms of, you know, really tier one type congressmen that are bringing money home. He's more of like a tier four type congressman in that. So money's not coming home to our district. So the first thing that I would do is I would represent everybody. I'd work on passing a responsible budget on time. I have no problems talking across the aisle, so I would legitimately represent everybody. And the third thing I would do is bring stuff home to our district in terms of funding, resources, and legislation.
And I want to, while we're talking about the funding, I'm going to veer for just a moment. One of the things that I've seen really explode in probably the last 8 years, 10 years, is this idea that instead of having government do something government does, for example, homelessness or immigration, helping immigrants, they have nonprofits that they pay to do this work. So there is a ton of money with very little oversight. And I'm going to tell you right now, one of the biggest nonprofits in the Tri-County area you're covering that is supposed to be helping immigrant families with issues hasn't had their tax returns accepted by the IRS in over 3 years. They're not legit. So they're not, you're supposed to not give money from government when the money is going to a nonprofit that isn't filing their tax returns correctly and isn't accepted. And then secondly, their mission statement says one thing. So while the mission statement says their goal is to help immigrant families during catastrophes, their primary purpose and basically almost only purpose is actually to train people to be anti-law enforcement, to watch law enforcement, to go and speak out against law enforcement. For example, they train people that if they're told you get an email or a text message, law enforcement is in an area where immigrants are. For example, there was an arrest of a murderer by sheriff's deputies who was an immigrant. It had nothing to do with them not being a lawful citizen. They had around 50 people from this group try to give the person a warning to run. These are largely funded by government grants. For example, that group got $75,000 last year from the governor's office. And the money is going, and I know it shouldn't be, because, again, if you're not filing your taxes correctly, I did interview the IRS. They wouldn't tell me a lot. They told me the reason that it didn't show any tax returns filed is the tax returns had been rejected and they were under investigation for issues with not doing things legally. What can be done to get these nonprofits, the amount of money being spent on homelessness, immigration from government funds, and get control of this type of spending?
Yeah, so let's bring that up to the general, you know, general level of it, right? So this is the corruption cycle in California, right? So this is a lot of state issue here. And it doesn't matter if it's NGOs or it's some of these other special interests. We're funding, funneling government money into these unaccountable things, and then the money is a constant cycle of coming right back in to campaign funds and everything else that are funding people. So you look at these NGOs that are getting money from government funds going straight to them, and they've got people in their board leadership that are making, you know, $700,000, $1 million. Newsom's wife's one of them, right, making all this money off of this, and it's just a constant corruption cycle of funneling government money into these groups, then these groups support the same politicians that are keeping them in office by continuing to funnel funds into them, and that's the cycle that we're dealing with here. And so look at it even with in January when Nick Shirley came to Los Angeles and goes down to the one building where there's like 100 hospice care things in there that are all getting funneled that are just a complete front and a sham. And so Newsom comes out then and says, well, this is just a right-wing clickbait YouTuber that's, you know, making all this stuff up. And then now 2 months later, Newsom's in his social media every day. I don't know if you're on Newsom's social media, but he's on there posting something every single day saying, I'm cleaning up the fraud with hospice care and all that stuff. So 2 months ago, it was fake. 2 months later, you're saying that you're the hero cleaning it all up. That all happened under your watch. And then our local politicians here, whether it's Salud Carbajal, Greg Hart, Panetta up there, Monique Lamone, where is their comments on any of this fraud in California? So their governor's on there saying it exists now. Where are they at? What are they saying about it? It's absolute silence on the line. And so whether it's NGOs, whether it's these other interests, I mean, look at the cannabis, and I know you've dealt with that. Down here in Carpinteria, school laws had to be changed for the cannabis down here. And then you go and look at all the money that was funneled into all these campaign funds. Lots of money into the Democrat, Santa Barbara Democrats, lots of money into Newsom, lots of money into Salud Carbajal, our assemblymen, our state, lots of money was funneled into all these people's political campaigns, and school laws were changed. I mean, one, it's already hard to get a license for anything like that, but then when you're talking about also changing school laws to do it, that should be mission impossible, right? But it didn't, and we have Carpinteria High School surrounded by marijuana. I mean, you step 5 feet off the football field, you're in a marijuana farm. You know, it's this constant corruption cycle. And I think from the federal government, there's two things that I can do. One, we stop federally funding any organizations or anywhere where money is going to this until it stops. That's one thing. And you know, the administration's been doing that to a degree of stopping funding where things are not being used appropriately. And then the other thing we can do is use the big stick, right? So me as the congressman, I've got to come back here and hold people accountable. I've got to be outspoken. I've got to use my platform to call people to the carpet and make them accountable. In the military, it's called using the big stick. And unfortunately, since our congressman is in the cabal of these people, he doesn't come back. So nationally, he acts like I'm a new Democrat coalition, problem solvers caucus, moderate Democrat. But then he comes back in district, and he's in the cabal of our government here. So both of those things can't be true. If you're this moderate at the national level that's for, you know, certain causes, and then you come back here, you should have be critical of some of the things that are going on here. I've never seen any criticism. So, you know, we kind of have, with the supermajority here, no one using the big stick to hold anybody accountable. And this is really why we need change here. Whether you're a Democrat, an independent, or a Republican, you should not be wanting your tax dollars. It's hard enough to live here already. You should not be wanting your tax dollars going into this fraud. It's just making life harder for you, and it's just keeping people in political power. And until you're willing to vote for change, it's just not going to change here.
And how do you solve problems when we have such partisanship?
So again, it goes back to, you know, my concept of, you know, we're never going to get a first down here or a touchdown Hail Mary here. So let's get a first down back into the right direction. So. For me, I'm looking at people in my own life that are Democrats, that are, you know, again, those JFK, Clinton-type Democrats, you know, independents and non-party preferences in the center, and saying, hey, look, you're the people that need to stand up here. You're the people that need to vote for a change. I have so many people in my life right now that are Democrats that look at their party and say, I don't align to this thing anymore at all. But you have to be willing to vote for someone to change. And so that's what my whole platform's about, right? I'm not an ideologue. I'm not trying to push any agendas. I look at this from a sense of a systems engineer, a military person who's led people. They come from all walks of life in the country. I'm a problem solver by nature. I just say, hey, what are the problems? What are the courses of action to how we solve them? Who are the smart people on these problems that I can bring in to work on this solution? And then what's the best solution to move forward with, right? And let's go. And so that's kind of where I sit at. So I think that for people across the aisle, I'm that safe vote. So I'm asking for that first down. Let's go back to getting common sense here and things done that actually serve our community instead of serving these special interests.
We're going to take a break from our sponsors and be back with one last segment. So if you have a question to ask, you need to call in with Bob Smith.
Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Well, Rich London, it's spring. If I need a mattress, why should I spring into the mattress specialist?
If you look around, you're going to see mattresses everywhere in this store.
We're talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist.
They are stacked up almost to the ceiling, and I'm not kidding. And they're all on sale right now because I've got too much stock and I need to move it. So come on down quick and save big.
Enjoy the special springtime savings at the mattress specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We moved from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. Today I have Bob Smith on the show. He is a candidate for U.S. Congressional District 24. Bob, real quick, tell us where the boundaries are of the district.
Yeah, so 24th District has been redistricted a few times, so recently since the 2020 census. So the 24th District runs from Ojai and Ventura City in Ventura County, all of Santa Barbara County, and then San Luis Obispo County up to Cayucas on the shore side, and then on the inland side, Santa Margarita. So basically at the grade, Atascadero is cut out. And that was the 2022 redistricting that cut that out.
So most of the county you're still part of. I want to ask another question. With our partisan situation in this country, how will you work across the aisle to get things done?
Yeah, so I think it just goes back again to problem solving. You just have to focus on the problem, and you have to take the heat and everything out of it. And, I mean, I delivered the most advanced ballistic missile system, ballistic missile defense system on planet Earth. And I did that with thousands of engineers and scientists and physicists and workers all the way down to people that, you know, did welding on the systems. I mean, so you can do this, right? That's a bunch of different people, a bunch of different inputs, a bunch of different people who think things are more important. You just got to take all of the rhetoric out of it. You got to get down to, like, what is the problem that we're trying to solve and what is the best answer for us all to move forward in the right vector? And I think that, like, that's what you can do with people across the aisle as well. So there's going to be some people that are on the far left that, like, I'm just honestly never going to appeal to. I'm sorry. Like, I don't represent some of your values, and, you know, I'm not going to appeal to you, so you're never going to get to me. But I'm going to listen to you, and I'm sure that there's some areas that we can find common ground, but I'm probably not going to be the person that you want to vote for. But I consider myself kind of that, you know, one standard deviation from center, so and that's what I've been mapped to politically on anything that I do. So I think for most people, the majority of the country, I'm a person that fits right into your wheelhouse where, you know, we probably agree more than we disagree on most things. So, and with that said, I don't think that I'm the smartest person. And again, this is why I'm a kind of consensus builder. Bring in people who are the smart people on whatever issue, come to some kind of consensus on what the best way to move forward is, and then be a leader and activate it, make it happen. And so that's kind of where I live in, the world that I live in. So I just find that easy to talk to people across the aisle, because I generally think that most people want the same things. It's just how you go about it is where you start to, you know, get the rub.
And as you're running, you're running in a primarily Democratic district. What is it going to take for you to win in that district?
Yeah, so let's talk about this, and let's talk about it in the big picture of this midterm and the primaries that are happening. So the 24th district is a Democrat plus 11 district. So what that really means in numbers is for me to win, we need about an 85% Republican turnout. And then I need to get, you know, about 30,000 swing voters. So now, with that said, the 24th district has over 100,000 independent non-party preferences. So that's one third of them. That's not that many people if you put it in there. So this district is winnable. It's hard because you're going against the machine, the well-funded machine here. You're going against that. But if our population stands up and says, hey, I'm willing to take, you know, a bet on this guy for change, you know, it's doable here in this district. The math is there. I've done all the math. I know the numbers for every community across the district of what we'd have to get to make this happen. And that's what it comes down to. So this district is winnable to bring it back. And then I think we have to look at some things that would get people excited to get out and vote here. So we obviously have a governor race going on. And I think California is at a tipping point. When you look at things like our energy policy, our regulation policy, you know, we are losing businesses here. I think California, you know, could start tanking our GDP here with companies leaving if the governor doesn't turn it around. And so we have two candidates up there on the Republican side that would be nice to see a change in there in government. I mean, the legislature is still going to be a Democrat legislature. Hopefully a few seats can get flipped so it's not a supermajority anymore. I mean, that's part of the problem with California. Anybody can come up with a dumb idea at 9 a.m. and by 3 p.m. it's law here in California. I mean, California passes 1,200 laws a year. So, you know, I think that we can get, you know, if we can get one of these candidates in, you know, and the Democrats don't have a whole lot of good candidates. I mean, there's Mahan, who I think that, you know, a lot of people would say they can live with him being in there on the Democrat side, but the rest of them are all nuts. So I don't think they have a very exciting candidate there for the most of their field, aside from Mahan. And we have two good candidates that could win there on the Republican side. Now, there's also a couple of ballot measures that are going to be going into November. So Save Prop 13 is going to be one of them, which, you know, directly helps every single human's property taxes here. So you're going to want to vote for that. And then there's going to be the voter ID. And what data is showing right now is 80% of the population supports voter ID. So both of those things will be on the November ballot. But right now in SLO, you have a county supervisor race. In Santa Barbara, we have a county supervisor race that borders that same supervisor in SLO. And so those are really important for people locally. And those races can be won with a 50% plus one vote in the primary. So what I would encourage people to do right now, ballots are going to be out on May 5th, which is 3 weeks from now. We have to vote in the primaries. We've got to get a turnout. And, you know, unfortunately, San Luis Obispo County usually has a pretty poor turnout in midterm primaries. So if San Luis can get people out, get your neighbors, get your family members, get people out, you know, we can get these candidates in there for governor to go forth to November. We can win some of these county supervisor races, right? We can push me through to the, you know, the general election. So there's a lot here on the line here in this primary, and that's what I would say is people need to get out and vote.
And what can they do to specifically help you with your election?
So I need walkers, canvassers. We've got people that are canvassing all across. I've got a good support in Oreo Grande and Pismo Beach. I got a lot of people there supporting me right now. They're out walking. But we need volunteers, walkers, and then funds. Funds are the biggest thing. And it's tough because I have to grassroots everything, right? So Luke Carbajal gets a lot of PAC money. I'm not taking any PAC money. He gets a lot of that automatically. He has millions of dollars. I think he's at $3.3 million cash on hand right now going into this. So funds are a lot. And, you know, we have a lot of people here that are, you know, registered across the district. There's 127,000 registered Republicans, 35,000 registered minor party conservatives, and then the nine party preferences. So, you know, a little bit of grassroots funding from everybody does go a long way. But, you know, funding is a big deal here because I have to go and reach these voters that we need to get, and unfortunately I have to do it with people that are supporting me to fund the tank to go get it. So those are the things. Volunteer, walk, put a sign up in your yard, word of mouth, and if you can put in $20 or $100 or whatever, that helps into the campaign fund.
And are you reaching out to voters who haven't voted? Do you have a plan to do that and have a team of people making calls and reminding people to vote?
We do. So, again, this goes back to the systems engineer in me. I engineered out all three counties for all three county parties. And so I have it down to every single voter, the low propensity voter, their exact name, door, everything. So we have an entire plan that's going on right now where we're canvassing the low propensity voters. And so that's happening right now as we speak. We have call lists going where people who can't walk are calling the same people because the data shows you need to touch a low propensity voter about three times. So if we get a call, a door knock, you know, a call from me, a mailer, or whatever, we just need to add up three touches to a person and make sure they get out and vote.
And that the three times thing, I've even noticed I'll have somebody calling me that wants me to look into something for them or doing something. And if they push three times, I almost always spend more time on it. I just think it's human nature. If you reach out repeatedly, you're much more likely to get somebody involved. And give us your website and where people can get hold of you.
Yeah, so my website is www.bobsmithforcongress.com. That's Bob Smith, forcongress.com. All the information's up on my website. You can go and look at, I have a media page on there that has all of my op-eds. I write a lot for all the different papers. I have op-eds in there on the Morro Bay offshore wind. I have on California's energy. I have lots of op-eds in there. So please go read those. My donation link is on there. There's also a page to sign up for volunteering as well.
And I think I think it's a very... I congratulate you for running because I know it's hard. Have they attacked you or your family at all?
Not yet. I'm assuming that's going to come after the primary year we go through, but not yet, no.
I want to thank you very, very much for coming on the show today, and thank everyone for listening.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.